Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror. Heavenly shades of night are falling. It's twilight time.
Projectionist?
Oh, come in, Ross Shari. I was just getting rid of some trash. Would you lend me a hand?
Yeah, sure thing. Did you just uncover a pit?
Yes. 30 feet straight down. At least that is what intern Rockford J has told me.
Where does it lead?
I actually have no idea, Ross. Now, if you might lift from your end, there we go. Easy.
Projectionist. Can't help but notice this tarp-covered object is also wrapped in rope.
All the better to keep the contents within the body bag, top, together, up and over.
You do know it's time we started recording the new podcast, right? The recording light's on.
Yes. Welcome back, dear listeners, to my radio broadcast. I want to thank you, one and all, for the very, very kind comments of late. It warms my heart to read your electronic missives beside my fireplace during my long and solitary nights here in the vault. I am particularly pleased you are happy with Ross joining my radio show. He has proven himself a most capable intern.
Assistant. I am your assistant, Projectionist.
Whatever. Now then, what bit of research have you done for this week's show?
Have you ever heard of the Slender Man?
Oh, I most certainly have, Ross.
Well, while I've tried to focus on the history and supernatural sightings that take place in Haddonfield, listeners, truth is, the Slender Man has had reports all over the world for a number of centuries. In recent years, there's been an upswing in reports and sightings, some even captured in photographs and video footage from credible sources.
What do you mean, credible sources?
Many of the Slender Man reports are from amateurs. A lot. However, there have been a handful of reporters that have gone on record stating that what they've witnessed, including Martin Arnold from the Haddonfield Tribune.
My. That is the third time, I believe, you have brought up Martin Arnold in my radio show, Ross.
Yeah, it wouldn't be such a bad idea to devote an entire episode to his work. But the incidents that, well, some might say have been known to plague Haddonfield, Martin Arnold reported on almost all of them.
Yes, I recall being rather fond of his writing back in the day, dear listeners. He and his lovely wife were known to frequent my Starlight Star Bright drive-in. That was a spell before it became the haunted drive-in it is these days.
Maybe we're getting a little off subject, yeah? The first mentions I found of the Slender Man came from Storia della Lunga Ombra, a book published in 1935. Within the book, it mentions the Capivara National Park, located in Brazil. The author took photos of cave paintings which have been dated back to 9000 BC that appear to show the Slender Man, or at the very least, the same type of entity. Those paintings show multiple events where the entity, a very elongated version of a man, is taking children by the hand and leading them from their various tribes. Interestingly enough, There is no painting showing the multiple arms that the Slender Man has been reported to reveal.
Much like the White Death we discussed on the last radio broadcast, Ross, there are those who believe the Slender Man is more than one entity.
Which do you personally believe, Projectionist?
I am of the mind that it is a singular being. I should add that I personally have heard that it is not just children that has been known to abscond with. Adults and even livestock, too, have been taken away.
I've seen some of that in my research as well. Those cave paintings in Brazil show the entity draped in a black robe, and the artists have paid special attention to showing the pale hands as well as the arms, and its featureless face. Some of the paintings even show it walking on all fours like some kind of animal. In addition, I have found references to the Slender Man from a book of Egyptian hieroglyphs published in 1910. The hieroglyphs themselves dating back to 3100 BC. During the reign of Pharaoh Wasner, these hieroglyphs began showing up in various locations, detailing the arrival of the Thief of the Gods. Even the Pharaoh's tomb had a carving for what looks to be the Slender Man, an elongated figure with multiple appendages in this case, each one being gripped by a child, although one appears to be a young woman.
I will admit, I had not heard about the Egyptian angle. I have heard the Slender Man called the Dark Man in various tales from Scotland. Oh, the Dutch have dubbed him the Branch Man, and in Germany he has been labeled the Tall Man. Perhaps those legends are what Don Coscarelli was patterning his version of the Tall Man on in his Phantasm films,
I can't answer that. Actually, I haven't seen the Phantasm film.
What? Do not let Victor hear you say that, or he might make you listen to that horrendous broadcast he did on the first film in the franchise. Why? I recall one review for that episode stating they would prefer to listen to fingernails upon a chalkboard than hearing Sage talk about Phantasm or any other picture again.
Yet again, can't add anything to that. Except for, you are probably going to get another report from the HR department for slandering Vic on the podcast. Again. I do know that there were two German wood carvings by Hans Freckenberger located in Holzburg Castle in 1883. They were entitled The Tall Man and featured a somewhat skeletal figure with multiple appendages. In each wood carving, there is a knight attempting to slay the Slender Man. While it appears he is doing grievous harm to the entity, both knights are ultimately slain for their actions. In addition, some historians have theorized that the skeletal figure is not the Slender Man, but is in fact a representation of a plague that swept the countryside, one that resulted in driving off the inhabitants of Holzburg Castle.
Are children or other abductees represented in those carvings, Ross?
Not a one, although, thanks to Rockford J's help, we found evidence of a diary from that time, that very region near Holzburg Castle, which is close to the Black Woods. A location that, in German folklore regarding the Tall Man, is said to be where the children would disappear or even be chased by the entity until they fled the woods. Although, judging from the diary of Lars Hoffmann, escaping the woods did little good. The diary, which I'll let you read from, Projectionist, is a reproduction. We can only assume what is written was in the original source. Start right here.
Hans, my dear boy, is gone, missing from his bed. The elders, aided in the search, we have found a piece of cloth, black as a moonless night, soft as Greta's best wool cloak, but much thicker. It is coated in a type of oil that gives off a rancid odor. God will surely curse me for my part in my son's disappearance. The other evening, I was awoken to Hans screaming, crying out that the pale angel, the Tall Man, had returned to claim him. Greta begged and pleaded with me to bring Hans to our bed, but I refused. The last I saw of my dear boy was him still crying in his bed, admitting that he stole away into the Black Woods. Hans claimed our missing cow is what caused him to venture into that accursed place. He found it, slaughtered, and hanging from a tree. That is when he said the pale angel began to appear outside his window. I will take Greta and our daughters away from here before this thing comes for them. Oh, the village learns of my turning a deaf ear to my dear boy's pleas. Oh, my. That was rather depressing,
Lars Hoffman came to a bad end, listeners. He was murdered a year later by, well, an assassin sent from his former village. It seems that abductions didn't cease when Lars escaped with his family, so the village elders hired someone to murder him in punishment for what those wizened elders saw as a curse being placed on their village. About 50 years later, a monk passing through Romania wrote down an account of the Slender Man, told to him by a family he was sheltering with for the evening. Brother Paolo had this to say. The head of the house claimed to have seen the tall man, standing in the middle of a clearing, beckoning to him with arms stretched wide. His clothing was that of a nobleman, colored the black of night, which made the milk-pale color of its flesh stand out all the more. Shadowy tentacles sprouted from the tall man's back and looked as if they were deadly to the touch. Never a word did it speak, but continued to beckon as the head of the house ran toward his village. That is the majority of the historic research I have uncovered, beyond a story from Australia. That, however, turned out to be a case of a bunyip.
What of Haddonfield, though? You said that Martin Arnold wrote about an incident.
That's correct. One that took place in 1962. The disappearance of Helen Lyle and her eldest daughter, Monica. Martin was actually contacted by Helen, not to have a story written, but to have a credible source as witness to the mysterious entity that was seen at the playground near the Haddonfield Elementary School. In the article, Martin states that Helen told him the first sighting took place on a weekend, October 6, when her three children were playing at the playground during a family picnic. The young mother was reading a book when she realized that Monica was yelling for her. Looking up, she spotted her daughter pointing toward the nearby woods beside the elementary school. On the way home, Monica, as well as her two sisters, excitedly described a thin and tall-looking man appearing from out of the trees, taking giant strides toward them, beckoning for them to come with him, with impossibly long arms. It's interesting to note that Helen Lyle's children claimed to have seen a smiling face on the stranger, although they also mentioned its skin was pale as snow. The children asked their mother to take them back for another picnic the following day. This time, Helen saw the Slender Man emerge from the woods herself. The article from Martin Arnold states that he was told by Helen that it seems to have no fear of being seen. It was almost dancing as it approached the playground. The mother grabbed her children and had them run back to their parked car. The Slender Man gave chase, tapping on the car's windshield with long, bony fingers before Helen wrenched the car into reverse and sped off. Her next stop was the Haddonfield police station, where she told what had occurred to Sheriff Lee Brackett, who didn't quite believe her.
Ah, Sheriff Lee Brackett. Yes. As I recall, dear listeners, he had a personal tragedy nearly 16 years later. Since we're on the subject of dark happenings occurring in Haddonfield.
We might have to discuss that event soon, Projectionist. Martin apparently was at the station on an entirely different matter and overheard Helen's story. When she learned he wrote for the Haddonfield Tribune, she asked him to meet her at the park the next day and to bring a camera. Which he did, listeners, and in his article he shared a blurry photo of what looks to be the Slender Man.
I remember the citizens of Haddonfield calling it a hoax due to its blurry nature. They claimed Martin Arnold was trying to create the equivalent of a local Bigfoot sighting.
I'm going to read an excerpt from Arnold's article. I was asking Helen about her ex-husband when the birds in the park went quiet. A breeze picked up, and I smelled something that reminded me of spoiled eggs. It was only for a moment before I heard the children giggle and Helen gasp. I turned toward those kids, and that's when I saw it, what my research would later identify as the Slender Man. I quickly raised my camera and snapped photos at it as it approached. No, almost glided toward the children. It looked to me as if it was dressed in an immaculate black suit. I couldn't make out any features on its pale face. It was as if it was a blank slate. I realized I was yelling for the children to run towards me as I began to back away. Monica, for a moment, looked as if she was entranced, but quickly joined us by my truck when her mother began yelling her name. I feel that my presence agitated the thing. As it reached the playground, it bent low to the ground as if it was intending to charge at us on all fours. Instead, it shook for a moment before tendrils of blackness, almost like wisps of smoke, erupted from its back. The tendrils swayed from side to side. I tossed my keys to Helen and jumped into the back of the truck as the slender man slowly moved back and forth across the playground. As Helen put my truck into drive and tore off from the park, I watched as the thing stood upright again, the tendrils withdrawing into its body before calmly walking back into the forest from where it appeared. Listeners, the rest of the article presents some of the same history that I uncovered on the Slender Man. Apparently, of the dozens of photos that Martin took, only one was clear enough to show the size of the entity. The reporter goes on to say he attempted to secure help from Sheriff Brackett, but to no avail. The evening before Martin wrote the article, Helen and Monica disappeared from their apartment. Her other two daughters, Michelle and Elizabeth, told the authorities it was the pale man who took them. The younger girls both said that the entity appeared at the window of their apartment, tapping on the glass. Then Monica and Helen turned and walked out the front door. Elizabeth and Michelle said they didn't feel worried until after the incident was over. Looking out the window, they saw their older sister and mother smiling up at the pale man, each holding one of its many hands.
The question, dear listeners, is what does the Slender Man want with its abductees? There are never any bodies located beyond that cow. And as Ross explained from Martin Arnold's newspaper article, those taken do not seem to be upset in any way.
A good question, projectionist. The answer is, we just don't know. We probably never will.
Well, then with that mystery to ponder, perhaps it is time to bring an end to this show.
Until next week, then?
We look forward to you joining us once again on the Projectionist's Sinister Tales of Terror. Dear listeners, we hope you are enjoying Season 2 of my radio show. If you would like to reach me on the internets, you may do so on the Facebooks. Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. I want to thank my assistant, Ross Shirey, for his excellent research. I also would give a thank you to the Retroist for carrying my broadcast on his station. When you wish to learn the joys and history of pop culture, you should visit the Retroist. This has been a Retroist production. Sleep well, and goodbye.